Welcome to the Consulting Lifestyle Podcast. I am your host, Diogène Tirandekura. On this show, you will discover the realities, the successes and the struggles of business management and information technology consultants in the fast-moving B2B world. So stay tuned if you want to know more about what it takes to have a consulting lifestyle. Hey, I got a question for you. Are you a consultant active in the B2B world right now? Or are you an experienced professional thinking about starting in the consulting industry? Or are you a student wondering whether or not it is the right idea to start a consulting career? If you say yes to any of those questions, I believe that you are a great fit for a first free 15-minute coaching call with us. During this call, what we will try to do is to look at your career goals, at your past and current experience, and to see if we could together build a roadmap towards your desired career that is fitting with your desired lifestyle. So don't hesitate to get in touch with us at consultinglifestyle.fm/coaching. consultinglifestyle.fm/coaching. See you soon. Hello and welcome to the Consulting Lifestyle Podcast to Joshua Berry. Joshua, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Diogène. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for coming on and accepting the invitation, because I think you do have a very interesting perspective to provide to the audience. But let's start by having you, Joshua, sharing the highlights of your career story.
Absolutely. I went to school for international business and Spanish, spent the first 10 years working for a mid-sized consulting company, and that took me around the world to about 30 different countries, helping organizations think about who they were hiring, selecting, developing, and how that impacted their culture and business results. I then went out on my own and tried my hand at a couple of startups, eventually was doing consulting work on my own. And now I'm in this third stage of consulting life now, I guess, where I have a company with several consultants that are part of our team. And that is called Econic. And we are helping organizations today with strategy, innovation, and culture consulting and training work.
Okay, that's very interesting. So you're already at third stage. But you also have
I don't know if it's a stage or an evolution or anything, but yeah. I've definitely experienced working for someone, being on my own, and now working with a team of consultants. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, yeah, and then, as you said, strategy, innovation, and culture. I believe that that's all three interesting topics. And you said Econic is the name of the company. So you were alone? Did you create it with someone, and why the name? Is there a story behind it? Or
there is a little bit. So I was out on my own for a couple of years and then co-founded Econic with another person, a 50-50 partnership at the beginning. That company that I was running was called Smart Matter. He had the domain and registered name of Econic, and Econic just sounded better than Smart Matter. And so we went with Econic. A couple of years after that, we parted ways and I bought him out of the company. And so he's no longer a part of it, but Econic has remained. And so we've been in business. We officially founded Econic in December of 2015.
Okay. So about a bit less than 8 years ago. And while you were doing before that, so while you were doing consulting on your own, were you already doing strategy, innovation, and culture, or were you offering other services?
Yeah, that's hard. As I'm sure a lot of your audience knows, at the very beginning, it's really about finding what people need and just doing that. So I think those first few years, I helped recruit for a director of sales. I think I helped build a leadership development program. I served as an advisor for some startups. We had four kids at that time. And so when you're out on your own, I think a lot of times it is the best approach to consulting out of the gate is finding someone you enjoy working with, finding a need that they have, and somehow convincing them to pay you to help them solve that need. Right?
Yeah, that's excellent. Even though you spoke naturally about it, not many people start the way you were thinking, saying finding someone or a company you enjoy working with. A lot of people just do, they just take whatever, whoever accepts, whether it is enjoyable or not. So I think that's an important aspect. I assume with Econic, you also work with organizations you enjoy working with. and is there a certain industry type size that you work particularly with? Or?
Sure. So we work with all sizes of organizations, everything from Procter & Gamble, John Deere, U.S. Bank, very large organizations down to smaller ones with 50 to 100 people. But I'd say our sweet spot is, we say about 100 million to 1 to 2 billion in top line annual revenue. Mm-hmm. So the kind of middle market companies. And back to your point about type of industry, it actually goes back to the point you made just a second ago, which is, it's more about the type of people that we're working with than it is the industry. So right now we have very active manufacturing clients, financial services, a couple of engineering firms, healthcare. It's a variety of different industries, but the common thread is great growth-minded clients or leaders on the other side that we just enjoy working with and can find mutual projects to work on and help them with.
Now that's okay. That's interesting. Talking about your culture, the service that you provide in terms of culture, and maybe there is a world that was pre-pandemic and a world that is post-pandemic where there is way more remote work. So how has it evolved for organizations that you help, that challenge of trying to build and sustain a culture?
Yeah, you're right. It has shifted and changed quite a bit. A lot of our approach to working with companies is to help them identify projects that not only improve the business, but improve the people underneath of those projects. So an example is working with a utility company who was trying to figure out exactly that. How do we do remote work yet still keep a collegial culture where people are learning from each other? Where we're different from other consultants is we don't come in and say, we know all the answers, now go do these things that we told you to do. What we do is we help spin up teams and help them think through what's the problem that we're trying to solve. What are some experiments we could run? So in this case, this team decided to run some experiments around virtual workers still establishing culture. They came up with an experiment called the virtual water cooler. but our whole role is to help them identify work problems, but then create space to practice curiosity and experimentation and learning and all of those things to be able to figure out how to adapt to themselves as they work through it. And so that, to your point, has applied really well during the pandemic and now the stage that we're moving in now, because organizations need to be even more intentional about how they're choosing to work and how they're engaging with the people that are part of their companies going forward.
Yeah, great, great point. Another thing that you are doing with Econic is that you're a certified B Corp company. Can you explain what it is and how it impacts what you do?
Sure. The certified B Corp movement has been around for now over a decade, and it's really an acknowledgement and a rigorous assessment to look at all aspects of a business to understand how they are looking out for all the stakeholders, right, that are involved in a business. And so, when Econic 3 years ago decided to pursue this accreditation, we had to seriously take a look and say, how is our work impacting the environment? How are we taking care of our employees? How are we taking care of customers? How are we thinking about our impact in a multi-stakeholder sort of way? And so you see other pillars like this, conscious capitalism, justice entrepreneurship, 1% for the planet, right? You see there's a whole bevy of different frameworks and approaches that people are taking right now. that I think the common thread through all of this is how can we use business to further good and think about the long game that we're playing here. And so, yeah, the B Corp movement of which we're a part is, I think, just one of those markers that are out there that shows that we adhere to this and we're trying to continue to improve ourselves in those ways.
Okay. But you're also pretty public and proactive about it because you publish an impact report on your on your website. I think it's the first time I saw that for a consulting company.
Yeah. If you go to our website, yep, you'll see how many new clients we brought on board, what our client retention rates are, how much money we gave away for philanthropy. You'll see I actually wrote in the letter and then the team put together in the report some of the things we tried and some of the things that we failed at even this last year in terms of ways of working that we were trying to evolve. And so, yeah, we try to be conscientious about the impact that we're having and use transparency in those things to put it out to the world so that hopefully other people can learn from those things too.
Yeah, that's unique. Usually, consulting and consultants are not really keen on sharing numbers, let's say.
So it is about projecting, right? How much larger you are, and I was there too, right? Yeah. Like I remember, right when I started at the beginning, I couldn't wait to put other people's faces on the website. I even remember a couple of times where I was working with a contractor and I would say, could I just put your face on my website too? So it looks like I'm larger than I actually am. and after a while, it was really about letting go of my ego and some of that and realizing that the best people that I ended up working with honestly didn't care as much about how big we were, or how small we were. It was really in the quality of the work that we were doing together. And it was probably my ego that was getting in the way of those other things.
Okay. Oh, that's great. And there is also something interesting with regards to your company. I saw that there is a person that is a entrepreneur in residence. Mm-hmm. Well, what does that mean?
Well, for some of our clients, we are helping them with their innovation strategy and innovation program design. And what that sometimes looks like is building an innovation lab or helping them connect to startups to help them with their corporate innovation efforts, et cetera. And so, Colin on our team, who you're referencing, actually serves, as well as a couple of other people do, but in a more limited capacity. Colin's the best example of it, where he is serving and building an idea within one of our clients and helping them test and refine this idea so that the organization can either start to staff it themselves or spin it out into something different. So there's a couple of other organizations too, where we're not only doing the coaching, but we're actually a part of some of those teams so that they can learn alongside us how to maybe bring in some more of that entrepreneurial mindset and behavior shift.
Okay, that's very interesting. And now, if we go more on, let's say you are writing a book, like Dare to Be Naive. So, do you still consider yourself naive, or you are talking to other people?
Absolutely, Diogen. I see myself as very naive. And again, you speak French. One of the things that is fascinating to me is that word naive is not well understood, I think, in English. I think we understand and we use it in a certain way, which a lot of times people use it in a way that means more ignorant. And yet the root word, when we borrowed it from the French, and that was borrowed from Latin before that, it really came from a root word that meant that was nativus or native or innate or that thing which was already inside of you. And so in that book, Dare to Be Naive, what I explore is how people are using business for good and where some people might see that as naive in the more traditional sense. What I've seen and through my research and through successful companies who are doing these things, I've seen is it's actually coming from a more authentic spot than people give it credit for. It's actually probably something innate that is trying to emerge, but a lot of society tells us to like not do those things, right? Because it's not the way to do business. And so I'm daring people to push beyond that.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's a good idea, good concept as well. The fact that it's innate in us. And is it something that you plan on doing in the future? Meaning, writing books, speaking, etc. Having that kind of more personal brand, if I can say it like that.
We'll see. I know, again, this is the consulting podcast. That is a popular path that people take, is to go yes. down that. This book was not written to like get me out on the speaking tour or to like build a bunch of workshops around or anything. Mm-hmm. It was really written because it felt like it was inspired in me to put something out in the world in this way. And so I don't think it'll further my brand or anything like that at all. No, in fact, it's really just for the next circle of people outside of us. And then we'll see what happens with it. Right. That's probably one of the big things I've learned through these consulting paths that I've had is I used to put out like this goal of I needed to be this, or we needed to have this much revenue. Or I needed this much. Mm-hmm. I don't do that anymore. I focus a lot more now on what is emerging and what are my intentions and how do we work in certain ways. And then let's see how the outcomes play out, right? Yeah. It's a lot looser about where the outcomes go. So to your question earlier, Dio, around who do we work with? We just try to work with great people that we enjoy working mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. And when we hold that really loosely, I don't need to hold tightly to the next contract or project I have with them. I don't know if that makes sense, but there are some clients we've worked with for years, and it's because every time I talk to them, it isn't about when's our next project and when's our next thing. It's truly looking out for their best interest and not ever wanting to do harm for them. And so there have been times with clients where they've brought a project to us and we've said, it doesn't make sense right now, or I don't think that's the mm-hmm. right approach, or you can do it yourselves. And so I share all of that to say, like, this sort of approach of how you do it is much less goal-oriented, I think, than it used to be. And it's much more intention and values-based. Intention.
That's okay. No, you really give a great insight on that way of thinking. That's certainly one reason why you're doing culture advisory, because you have a different perspective, a different way of doing it, and thinking about okay, is it really the type of person I would love to work with? Yes, regardless of what they are actually doing, and then let's see if there is something we could that could be mutually beneficial. So no, that's a great approach. Another thing, and I think you did mention that you have a family, you have four children. So of course, you will, the question of the work-life balance or how you would balance being a father and professional.
It is difficult. And I have different answers depending upon which stage I was in. And so I would say when I first
started. Three stages?
Started, yeah. So. When I was working for a consulting company that had about 150 people, you know, before we had kids, I was traveling 200 days a year, right? And that was difficult. Then when we started to have kids, it was really about how to be intentional about starting to pull some of that back. Later, when we had kids and I was out on my own, it was very hard because it was about how do you do whatever projects you can so that you can bring payback to the family. One of the greatest lessons that I had during that time was being more intentional about the rates I was charging. I had a great advisor who was helping me see that I was very drastically underpricing myself. And so mm-hmm. I had a period of time where I had to really work through the confidence to say, I'm working so many hours. What would it look like if I worked half of that, but charged, honestly, about three times as much as what I was charging? Could that all work out? And what would I need to do to play that in? And so that helped with the balance of everything. Mm-hmm. And then today, as our company continues to grow or we add team members to it, there's still that pull of that balance. But I would say it's managed even better by having great team members and finding, and you had a recent episode, Dio, on StrengthsFinder, and thinking about the strengths that I possess and that give me energy and leaning into those things, I'm able to do that and realize there's a bunch of stuff I don't do very well. And so how can I have team members that can complement me there? And that's absolutely not only a strategy to help them hopefully feel more fulfilled and create opportunities for their growth, but also to create more of that balance, as you said, to be able to focus on the areas where I have giftedness and not burn myself out on those other areas.
That's excellent. And I believe that we have gone through quite a lot of different topics. I would like to know one last thing. So for you, if I say Consulting Lifestyle, the name of the podcast, what does that mean to you, Joshua?
To me, it means being intentional, right, about what you want out of that lifestyle. I've talked to a lot of consultants who struggle between this idea of, do they want to stay solo or do they want to add a team around it? And even that, if they were to add a team, how big do they want to be and whatnot? And especially going from solo to starting to add maybe an assistant or another team or creating a network or any of those. Those are really, really important decisions to make, and they shift a lot of what you end up doing. So when I think consulting lifestyle, I think that one, you've given yourself a lot of choice to be able to make a lot of decisions, and therefore you owe it to yourself to be intentional about those choices that you make, right? Just adding team members and not just staying as a solo consultant is a big decision. And sometimes I think... I wish people would have more respect or intentionality and not see like bigger is always better, right? But it is really about first off, what lifestyle do I want? And then now how do I design towards that?
Yeah. Doing it for maybe the good reasons and put your ego at the right place, if I can say it like that, I guess.
Yeah. Those first few years when we had a team, I definitely made more money if that's what I was shooting for before I had team members, right? And there's sometimes fewer headaches. Yet there's all the benefit of having team and growth and seeing their growth and all of those. But those fire different things inside of you. At least they give different types of satisfaction in those ways.
Okay. So being intentional. Thanks. Yeah, being intentional. So thanks. That's a great answer. And the very last thing is, if people want to get in touch with you or Econic, where can they find you?
Yep. The best way would either be through the websites, which is Econic. That's econic.co. It's just .co. As a consultant early on, that extra M was going to cost us $39,996. So we're Econic.co. The book website is daretobenaive.com. And then we're most active on LinkedIn if you want to catch any content from us.
That's excellent. So thanks very much, Joshua. I think it was a very enjoyable interview. And also you really gave different perspective on how to do consulting to the audience. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Diogen. Have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Consulting Lifestyle Podcast. If you have enjoyed the episode, please leave a review on iTunes or any of your preferred podcasting platforms. Also, if you want to further our relationship and want to keep in touch, you can join us at consultinglifestyle.fm/community. Looking forward to meet you there. Thank you.